الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا There is a request for Fatiha for a list of mu'mineen for each one of them and for all present over here, their relatives, friends, Al-Fatiha. It was mentioned yesterday that the first station we have in this journey towards Akhirah, it's the grave. And in a report it is mentioned that when the body is laid in the grave, it is escorted on one side by salat, on the other side by zakat, and it is sheltered with the goodness a person has done throughout his life. And when the body is laid in the grave, escorted by salat and zakat and goodness, sabr, patience from one side, says, take good care of my sahib, take good care of my partner. If you can't take good care of it, addressing to salat, addressing to goodness, addressing to patience, to zakat, says, I will come forward and look after him. So these are the things that remain with an individual for eternity, forever. So patience is sabr. Among the applicables of sabr is that a person has to be patient while doing his wajibat. It requires a lot of patience. Refraining from haram requires a lot of patience. And in akhlaq and attitude, again, that too requires patience. There is a saying in Nahjul Balagha where Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that, alayhi salam, ittaqullah wa nazm amrikum, that be God-wary, fear God, and be organized. Wa nazm amrikum means be organized in easy words. Now what does that mean, be organized? That is, all of our affairs should be organized, should be good. Now when we say organized, doesn't mean that we get an iPod, we get an iPhone, we organize everything in the computer. That's just one small fraction part of it. But again, to have an organized life, to have that also requires a lot of patience. For example, to understand this meaning of patience in easy words, on how we apply it to our livelihood, we have to be clean and tidy, as it is said that Inna Allaha Jameel wa yuhibbu kulla jamal. Allah is beautiful and He likes everything which is beautiful. He is all beauty, He loves beauty. So we have to be clean, we have to be tidy. And that requires a lot of patience. We have to be organized, that too requires patience. If we look into our own lifestyles, for example, kids coming from school or from universities, they enter the house, one shoe one side, the other shoe the other side. Or socks, one here, one there. Go in the room, the closet is a mess, the wardrobe is a mess, the beds are a mess. So why, when we ask them, they say that we are in a rush, we don't have time. Once the reality is that you have a lot of time, that's why all that mess. Or when you go into the bathrooms, in the restrooms, because they are in a rush, What they do, the toothpaste, it should be squeezed from down. You find it squeezed from the neck. Why? Because they are in a rush. The lid, it's in the sink. So the teaching over here is that اتقوا الله ونظم أمركم, fear God, be God-wary, and be organized. Be organized. Whenever it's said that observe taqwa doesn't mean only in the mosque, doesn't mean only in prayers, only in fasts. That is one applicable of it. So even in our own livelihoods, in our wardrobes, on the beds, in the shoes, socks. One of these, when Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi was in France, one of these news reporters, he said that I saw him after the interview. He comes into the house, he removes his abba, qaba, folds it properly and puts it into the shelf, takes his socks out, puts one into the other and places it on the shelf. He says, you've got a lot of time. He says, because I don't have time, I do it this way. He says, what does that mean? He said, if I just throw it away, then when I need it, I have to search for that and it takes more of my time. So you have to be organized. The teaching that we have from Salihin, from the great, from the pious, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, is that be organized in everything, not just in the things which we normally misunderstand regarding being organized. So ittaqullah wa nazmi amrikum, that have patience, quietly, easily, be calm. There's no rush. There's no rush at all. And if we have to get to somewhere 15 minutes earlier, wake up a bit early and you will get to your breakfast, you will get to your getting ready, and everything can be done, organized, in order, and you will get to everything without any stress. So اتقوا الله ونظم أمركم, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says. Again, we talked on this at length in the khutbah today, and that is, today is the day of Arba'een. Arba'een, the 40th day of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein's Shahadat. He was martyred on the 10th of Muharram, laid to rest without a head on the 12th of Muharram by the tribe of Bani Asad. And there it is our aqeedah that Imam has to be laid to rest by an Imam. And there, miraculously, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he comes. He comes, he lays the Imam to rest without a head, and because the body was pounded, shattered, broken into pieces, laid into a cloth, and that was laid to rest in the grave. And once the grave was covered, he writes on the grave, هذا قبر حسين بن علي بن أبي طالب الذي قتلوه عطشانا. That this is the grave of Hussein, son of Ali, grandson of Abu Talib, who was killed thirsty. And then the caravan with Imam Sajjad alayhi salam moves on to Sham in that wretched way. And on a day like today, they, when they want to go back to Medina and Yazid grants them the permission, then they come to a crossroad wherein one of the paths leads to Karbala, the other goes to Medina. Upon the request of Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam, they change route and they come to Karbala. And in Karbala, they come and they see that Jabir, who is the Sahabi, the companion of Rasulullah, and who saw, who's witnessed five of the imams, he also is present. He's an old man, blind at this age, and he is the first Zair of the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in Karbala. And then, on the six-edged grave of Abu Abdullah, the household, they pay their tribute, ziyarat is performed, and Imam allows them to stay there just for 3 days. He didn't want them to stay for more than 3 days, as it would make them restless. So then they carried on and on to their journey towards Medina. 40th day of observing the Shahadat of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and we talked about the significance of 40, and it was mentioned that when a person has reached the age of 40, that is the time wherein if his performance report, if his good deeds are not more than his bad, then Rasulullah, he says that he should be prepared to get to the hell. So, Before 40, there is a lenient time, and Allah, He is Arhamur Rahimeen, and He is more lenient with a person when he is below 40. But after 40, it is strict. And this is something which we find in Quran when addressing to the wives of the Prophet. He says that Ya Nisa An-Nabi Lastunna Ka Ahadin Min An-Nisa, that O wives of the Prophet, you are not like every other woman. If you do good, you will get a double share of reward. If you do bad, you will get a double share of punishment. And again, the same thing is said over here, that a person when he reaches the age of 40, that is his intellectual maturity, and he can judge right and wrong much better than when he was younger than 40. So after that age, the teaching and the ruling and also the ahadith that we have is that a person has to be very cautious. If he is not cautious, he has sinned. And again, the topic that has been selected for tonight is a phrase from Dua Makarim al-Akhlaq. It is a beautiful dua reported from Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. It is mentioned in Sahifah Sajjadiyah, or Sahifah Kamila as they have it in Urdu, or the Psalms of Islam, and it is available online. And over here, Imam talks about the beautiful ethics, the akhlaq a person has to possess, and if he doesn't, what he shall ask Allah. Now, most of these things we have been pointing out throughout these nights. It says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alih, wakfini ma yashghalun al-ihtimamu bih, that, O God, spare me the concerns which distract me. That in this life that we are living, there are so many concerns that a person has, as a result of which he gets distracted from what he has to focus on. So Imam says, make it as such that I don't get distracted, in easier words. وَاسْتَعْمِلْنِي بِمَا تَسْأَلُنِي غَدًا عَنْ. And O God, you utilize me with that you will question me on the day of judgment, which is tomorrow. It was mentioned that some of the people, like Marhum Jafar Aghai Mujtahidi, we talked about him on many occasions, people like him, they, if you recite a salawat and come forward.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, why don't they come from there?
But I have Khushnudi Imam Zamana Abulandar Salwa. Nara!
Says, وَاسْتَعْمِلْنِي بِمَا تَسْأَلُنِي غَدًا عَنْ. God, make it as such that you utilize me. What does that mean? That I become a tool and he uses me for his tasks, for his affairs. And some people, they are of that great caliber that they do the tasks assigned to them by Ma'asumeen. In this dua, we ask Allah that God make it as such that I become a tool of yours so that whatsoever you want, I perform that in this community. And again, it was mentioned that the assembly that Imam Al-Asr, he has, there is a group of people over there who carry out the affairs of the Imam. The tasks of the Imam are done by them. So, says that, God, make me a tool so that whatsoever you want, I carry out the affairs and that what you will ask me tomorrow. And then says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ أَيَّامِي فِيمَا خَلَقْتَنِي لَهُ. And the time of my day that I have, make it as such, open it up so that what you want from me, for the reason you have created me, I perform those tasks in my day. Now we just run around, rush, busy, 9 to 5, and again 5 to 9, etc. We don't get any time. In this dua, Imam says that this day of mine, it's so busy, God, you open up some space in it so that I remember you. And it is possible. That is, if we sincerely, truly intend and ask Allah to make it as such that a few minutes and moments are open so that we remember him, that is granted. But we sincerely have to ask him. Now the life that has been given to us, it's just one life. It's not two lives. It's not as such that we have been sent here, we have a trial, and then again we will be sent to do it again. Just one life, and in a blink of an eye, you find half of it is done. Another blink, the whole of it is done. And again, you find in centers that for the deceased soul, a fatiha is requested. That will be for us as well, sooner or later. So, this life that has been given to us, it's just once, and we have to benefit the most from it. In Quran, we have Surah Al-Asr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. There is a tafsir of Fakhr Razi. He says that when I was writing the tafsir of this surah, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ, I wondered what to write, how to start. And he says that I came to the marketplace and it was a hot day. And in those days, and even today, they used to sell ice slabs because it was hot. People used to come and buy those that ice to use it to cool water at home. He says that I saw this person selling that ice, shouting, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ يَذُوبُرَ أَسَمَالِهِ, that, O people, have mercy on someone whose capital is melting, whose investment is melting, that is, all he possesses is ice. Says, in this hot weather, it's all melting. People come and buy it from me because my capital is melting. And then he says that is the tafsir of Surah Al-Asr. Says when we say that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr, by the daybreak, Innal insana lafi khusr, indeed man is in a loss. What is that loss? That humanity that Allah has given to us, that is gradually burning and passing away. So we have to try and do something that in this lifetime that Allah has given to us, that humanity that has been given to us, it increases day by day. And that is, now how does it increase? It's all by these good things that we do. It's all by this reducing the distance between us and Allah, as it was mentioned repeatedly, that anything which distances us from Allah, that is classified as sin by Ma'asumeen, and in particular by our fourth Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. He says that, God forgive me. If it was a joy that I saw, that I enjoyed, if it was an occasion which I enjoyed, and if therein you were lacking, you did not exist in that moment where I was pleased and happy, he says that was a sin. God, astaghfirullah, forgive me for that. So Imam looks at those delicate issues, very tiny issues, that if he ate something and he got pleased and he enjoyed that food, says, God, if you were not there, forgive me. If I saw someone, if I saw a baby, if I got pleased and happy and you did not exist in that joy of mine, forgive me. And then says God, if I was present and I did not benefit from the ulama, and I did not hear from them and I did not benefit that time, forgive me. Being the best and the most knowledgeable of his time, he says that if I did not benefit from an alim, God forgive me. So Imam, he sees in that way, that whatsoever increases the distance between him and his Lord, he says that is a sin. So again, this humanity that is melting day by day, it has to be corrected, it has to be increased. Now we, many a times, or most of the time, we don't feel or know how this time is passing. By reading these novels, by watching films, TV, what and what not, nowadays chatting, all that humanity is just washing away and we don't even feel it. And there are many essential things, and for those essential things we never pay attention. Have we ever thought that how our end will be? How will be end from this dunya? Did we ever think about our grave? Now all this is to myself, to you just a reminder. Did we ever think that what is going to be of us in the grave? What is going to be the appearance that we will have in the hereafter? So on and so forth. Or for example, we recite, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ فَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. So many times, that is there anyone who could relieve the stress of a person who is distressed? Is there anyone? And that is God. Now, there is a book called Mikyalul Makarim, and we do have a hadith from Ma'sumin. They say that Muzdar means stressed, someone who was hurt a lot, someone who was disturbed a lot. And when we recite that ayah, that is there anyone that is addressing to Allah who could relieve this stress from us in these, at this time that we are facing, Imam says that Muzdar, truly he is the Imam of time. Imam al-Asr, he is the true Muzdar. Why is that? Now to understand that in easier words, did we ever think on these issues that, for example, if you have a house, a family, 4 or 5 members, the father or the mother of that family, you have all the stress and pressure on the parents. Hala, assume it that the mother, she takes more care, looks after the children, looks after the house, cooking, driving, running around, etc., etc. If the father, God forbid, passes away or falls ill, the burden is transferred to the mother. So the pressure, for example, if she was holding, which was 1 kilogram, now it's 2 kilograms. So she has to suffer more. So that is the darar which she had has increased. Assume someone else in the community, for example, an alim in a mosque. The pressure which he faces is more than that one unit, one household. You have all people calling in, saying their problems. So whoever listens to the problems which mu'mineen are facing, as if he is sharing the burden which they have. So an increase in whatever burden he has over there. Compare that to a mujtahid, compare that to a marja. So it just multiplies and multiplies. Now we have the pivot who is running the entire creation, and that is the Imam. So he has the burden of the entire creation on himself. So when we recite these du'as that God make it as such that we be with him, we take a part of the burden of him, that is we want to relieve him from that pressure which he is carrying. And that is by the performance we have, we can relieve that pressure a little bit.
So,
and it was mentioned in all these riwayat that we recited that when we are hurt, they are hurt. When we are happy, they are happy. When now the afflictions that we see today, the atrocities, the bala, all these killings that we see today, definitely Imam is hurt. Do we doubt in that? No doubt. He is hurt first, then we are hurt, as the riwayat they say. And it is our aqidah, it is our belief. So he has the most burden on him. And our sixth Imam, he says that when we say Amma yujibul mudtar idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su, it is him first. And the day when he is to arrive, that is the day of his zuhur, says that night he will bow in sajda and all night he will cry and weep, reciting Amma yujibul mudtar idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su. And in the morning that permission will be granted to him to arrive and his zuhur will be there on that day. So the most afflicted or the most stressed today, it's the Imam. So did we ever think in that aspect? Or did we ever think of how our end will be, how will we appear in the hereafter? It was mentioned the other day, I believe, that quoting from Shaheed Mutahari, he says that when he was studying in Qum, there was a dars of Nahjul Balagha in Isfahan, marhum Shaykh Ali Shirazi, he used to give that lesson. He says that we traveled all the way to Isfahan and we found that he truly gave a good lesson. And then he says that one day he comes to the dars, ascends the minbar, and there instead of starting the lesson, he starts crying loud. And we were all just worried, shaken, that why is he crying so much? And after a while when he settles down, he says that I saw death last night, myself. And then he says that whatever was told to us about how a person gives away his life, what will happen in the grave, the arrival of Munkir Nakir, everything was haqq. I saw that. And he says that I saw myself, my death, with my own eyes. And then he says that when I was being brought to my grave, I saw a huge, big, wild dog also escorting me. And I was scared that what is that? And then when the body was laid in the grave, again that dog is coming towards me. And I seek assistance from Abu Abdullah and Hussein, as he was a reciter of Abu Abdullah. He comes, he mediates, he drives the dog away and he says, don't worry, you are safe now. Now the reason for that dog and the appearance of that dog is, once in a while he was a bit hot-tempered with the family. Now hot-tempered, when I say, not hot-tempered like you and me. Hot-tempered for his own caliber. Now people of that great caliber, they have strict and severe tests as well, as this also was mentioned. Says that that is how the appearance of an individual would be. Now, did we ever think that what our end is going to be, how will we end in the hereafter? What we are said that whatever the interior of ours is going to be here in this dunya is going to be the exterior or the appearance of an individual in the hereafter. Or in easier words, the seerah today is going to be the surah tomorrow. Or the interior today will be the exterior tomorrow. If a person is good today in this world, he will be, his existence, his form will be good in the hereafter tomorrow. If God forbid, if it's bad, it will be bad tomorrow. Or in other words, it was mentioned yesterday that the grave, it's hufratun min hufar al-niran aw rawdatun min riyad al-jannah. It's either a pit, a hole of fire, or it's a part of the Jannah, or the part of the heaven that will be given to him. There's a book called Dar Mahzare Ustad, and it's the biography of Marhum Ayatullah Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan. It's a beautiful book. And there says that whenever he used to give his dars, teaching his students, amidst giving that lesson, it had nothing, not related at all. Once in a while, he said, "Aayun abad dar pish darim," that we are heading towards eternity. That is, there is an eternal life. Man has been created for eternity, will live forever. And that life will be either in the hell or the heaven. He says once in a while that abad dar pish darim. It seems to be a small sentence, but in reality, it's a huge, big ma'rifah hidden in that. That if we constantly have that in mind, that the journey which we are heading to is an eternal journey, or whatever we do now, it's nothing. The life that has been given to us, it's nothing. 60, 70, 80, or 100 years compared to abad, to eternity, that's nothing. Prophet Nuh, he lived for a long time. How much we don't know. He was a prophet of Allah for just 950 years. Prophet. When was that prophethood given to him? At the age of 50, at the age of 1000, at the age of 2000, no one knows. So, if he lived, for example, 3-4 thousand years, and when Malakul Maut was coming to take his life, he, when giving away his life, says that what a short life I had. And then Malakul Maut says, short? What would you say to the life of the people of the end of time? They won't be living for more than 60-70 years. He says, 60-70? That I would do it in with just one sajda. So, the life, it's just one life that has been given to us. And there is an abad, which is an eternity, which is awaiting us. And for that abad, we have to try and do something. Man, the price, if tagged, riwayat, they say the price is the paradise. And if we sell ourselves to something less and lower than the paradise, it's a loss that we are sustaining. So we have to be smart. The West, since the Industrial Revolution, Britain, which starts in Britain, cars came into existence. Factories, they came into existence. Mass production came into existence. Before that, people, they used to plow, they used to sow for a limited number. For example, a family, they had a small farm, they cultivated, they irrigated their own stuff, they harvested and they ate that, they consumed. So that was a one-to-one basis. But after this Industrial Revolution, what happens is that you've got all these giant mechanical machines which come up, And you find that one person sits in that huge big bulldozer and plows for 1,000 people. Or the crops are for 1,000 people, one person does. Or when it comes to fisheries, one person does and does all the fishing for 1,000 people. So there is a large consumer market that is created, which came into existence after the Industrial Revolution. Before it was 1-to-1, now it is 1-to-1,000. So what happens when everything is mechanized? There is a surplus, there is a mass production, so that people, everything is stocked and it doesn't get rot. So they export all that to the foreign countries, and in return, they get the raw material. And over here, this colonialism comes into existence, the imperialism, and the master of that is Britain, Portugal, France, who openly invaded lands 400 years ago. So, from the past century, what happens is that Richard Nixon, he writes a book called Victory Without War. What does he say? That we can invade lands, we can invade countries without any war. But what they did now in Afghanistan and Iraq is that they went back to 400 years. He says that we can invade lands and nations without a war. And how is that? By these consumer markets, by these marketing. And they were successful in that. And the tastes, the looks, the language, appearance, watching, and what a person needs, requirements, were created by this consumer market that came into existence over here. For example, you've got these Happy Meals which they sell in McDonald's. What do they have? It's a beautiful package box. Inside it, just two pieces of fish and finger, a few French fries, some ketchup. No taste, nothing. But kids, they love it. Why? Because the taste buds today, they are not in the mouth, they are in the eyes. Or when it comes to the looks, what a person needs to wear, again, mind doesn't say anything. Again, that is in the eyes. Whatever the eyes see on the television, that is what they wear. Whether it looks good, whether it looks horrible. Because they've seen it, they have to wear it. Now, because that's been seen in the television, that should be tasty. Although it's tasteless, although it's harmful, they do it. Or when it comes to music, if there's no tune in it, a person doesn't feel happy, doom, 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 doom. That's what has been heard, so it should be good. So taste buds, all these tastes and sight and hearing that we have, all the senses that we have, they are not connected to the nervous system nowadays. Everything is connected to the eyes. Aplishan bits chishmishun, as they say. So that has to be corrected. That what we see has to be corrected. What we hear has to be corrected. What we eat has to be corrected. So if we do that, to understand the realities and facts, it would be easier. Over here, our fourth Imam, he says that God make it as such that you open up space in my time so that I can worship you, I can come closer to you. God make it as such. Now, when I say that I worship you, doesn't mean that I sit on the prayer mat and offer my salat. No, that's one small applicable of it. It could be service, it could be studies, it could be anything. Anything which is done for a good cause to reduce that distance between man and God is worship. So for that reason, we have to correct our eyes, we have to correct our sight, we have to correct our thinking and everything. And when it comes to this advertising agencies who create this consumer market, who sell all this trash that has been stocked in their stores, what do? They employ psychologists because they know what a man needs, what are the requirements and needs of man. For that purpose, for all these advertisements that we see on the television, it's not just a layperson who has just advertised something. There is a lot of effort in that. They see what is the weakness of man. If they want to sell a car, they don't show a car, they show a naked woman, for example, or a bare woman, which has nothing to do with the car, or for chocolates, for everything. So because they use it as a tool, because man has got that weakness. And that is how they target man, through their weakness. But if we are smart, that is, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that a mu'min has to be kayyis. A mu'min has to be smart. He has to know what his enemy is doing. He has to know how he is being attacked. So consumer man is someone who is never pleased when it comes to consumer markets. So the more he wants, the more he wants. Or it's said that it's like that salty water, that the more you drink, the more thirsty you get. So what the teaching is that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam says that have a livelihood, have a lifestyle. Doesn't say that don't use anything from this dunya, use. Allah has created everything for you. But on an average level, on a decent level, consume, use, eat, drink, wear, but decently. And that elegance has to be there. We talked about tawakkul on one of these majalis over here, that a person has to rely on Allah in all walks of life. And if he relies on Allah, certain things are that you hand them over to Allah and He will ease and sort out affairs for you. And for that reason, it was mentioned that after your prayers, it is said that we recite the second ayah and the third ayah of Surah At-Talaq after each prayer. End of Surah second ayah, which starts with وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. That if you are God-weary, if you fear God, He says that He will open up your sustenance from places which you never thought of. And it's amazing. But someone who is drowned in this livelihood, in this lifestyle, he gets no way out to link and connect and relate to God. It is impossible for him to have faith in tawakkul. It is impossible. So we have to try and do something that we open up some space in our time, in our days. As our fourth imam in this dua says that God, in this day of mine, you create a vacuum, a space, so that I connect to you, I relate to you. If we don't have that vacuum, or if we are drowned in this dunya and in this consumer market, it is impossible for us to relate with him. For example, the issue of marriage. God says that in yakunu fuqaraa yughnihim Allah. Quran says that if you are poor, He will make you rich. Now, when someone who is drowned in this system of Dajjal, if we say that, get him married, the first question is that we need, for example, $50,000 for this purpose. From where will we get that? The credit score is down, or the job is that, and this, all these different excuses, and we won't get a loan. How will that happen? You get married, how will that happen? Leave that to God. All these buts and ifs and what nots, we don't need to care for that. We don't need to put our feet in the shoes of God. He has a task, He will do it. He will open up the sustenance for you. And it is the promise of God, in yakunu fuqaraa yughnihimu Allah, that if you are poor, I will make you rich. Or that ayah says that I will provide this sustenance to you from places you never thought of. So, but to understand and to digest these issues, we have to open up a little space. Someone who's drowned in the system, he will never accept, he will never admit, and he can never have faith in that. And this is something which you will admit for yourself. So, from the blessings that Allah has given to us, we are permitted to have a decent lifestyle. What is forbidden is that having a lavish lifestyle, which just never ends, and it's an ongoing system, where you have to just continue upgrading the system. That is not allowed. Why is that? The lifestyle which we need to have is a decent. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that don't go below that average. No one can do it. Don't set me as an example. I was an exception and no one can be like me. It is his teachings. Once in Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he He was on the minbar and he was shaking his hand like that. When the lecture finished, when the sermon finished, he came down. Someone said that, Imam, why were you shaking your hand all the time? He says that, I washed my clothes today. I hung them to get dried. And it was time for me to come for the khutbah. And because I have just one clothing, I had to wear that. I wore it, I came here, and I was shaking my hand so that it gets dried while I'm delivering my khutbah. So no one can be like that. He says that no one can be like that, nor do we want to be like him. So the instructions given by him is that have a livelihood, a lifestyle which is decent, which is kifaf, or no, don't go after luxury, as that luxury is that salty water which will never quench your thirst. Harun Rashid, La'natullah alayh. Sometimes these rulers, they did strange good things. Once he says that, go and find someone in my rule, that is the entire Muslim world which he was ruling on. Says, go and find someone who has heard a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His advisors, they say that it's about 200 years now, about 150 years since Rasulullah has passed away. How can we find someone who has heard a hadith from Rasulullah? He says, go and search, you might find someone. Go and search, it's my orders. And it so happens that they come out in search of someone who has heard a hadith from Rasulullah. And they come and find an old man somewhere in one of these villages who had seen Rasulullah and who had heard a hadith from him. Such an old, hunched person, they take him because there were no wheelchairs, no helicopters in those days. They put him in a basket or a stretcher-like and it's taken to Harun. They come to Harun and he says that I have heard a hadith from the Holy Prophet. When I was 7 years old, I came to see him with my father. He says, okay, tell me, what did you see? What did you hear? He says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ has said, يَشِيبُ ابْنَ آدَمْ وَتَشُبُّ مَاهُ خَسْلَتَانَ الْحِرْسُ وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ. Says that, as man grows, the Prophet has said, as man grows older, two qualities in him get younger. What is that? Greed and long hopes. And Harun, he is very happy. He says, okay. He gives a little gift bag filled with gold coins to this old man. Now, what the age of that man was might have been more than 150 or nearer 250 years of age. He takes that bag and he is being brought back to his home. On his way back, he says to these people who are taking him, that take me back to Harun. I want to have a word with him. They say that your time was up. The appointment that was given for you was only that slot and he won't see you. He hasn't got time. He says, take me back. I need to talk to him. And then when he is brought back to Harun, he says, yes, old man, what can I do for you? He says, you gave me this gift bag. Was this only for this trip or do I need to come to you every month to get one? And then Harun says, Sadaqa Rasulullah, truly he said the truth, that two qualities get younger as a person gets older, greed and long hopes. So, the consumers too, they get used to that lifestyle, that is, the more we benefit, the more we need, and the things that we use are those fake requirements and are not the essential requirements that we have in our livelihood. Now, what does it mean by fake and essentials? For example, a human body, it needs a few things: eating, drinking, wearing, relationships, etc. Now, these are the wajib needs and requirements a person needs to have. But sometimes a person gets addicted to, God forbid, drugs. Now, that is not an essential. He gets addicted to drugs and gets used to it, takes it every now and then. And a time comes that thing which is a fake requirement and which is not essential, it gets overpowered, and his eating, drinking, relationships and all that, it's then put aside. That need, which is a fake need or of that individual, overtakes all his other essentials. The same thing is with the livelihood. If a person is after a lot of luxury, that too becomes a fake need, a fake requirement, and for that you'll have to run around a lot, and then two jobs, three jobs, what and what not, and then nothing is sought. The essentials are kids. Essentials is deen. Essentials are parents. Essentials is qiyamah. Essentials is knowing what is going to happen in qabr. We have to have a vacuum. We have to open up a little space for all those things. If we look into our own selves, compare ourselves, for example, 10, 15, 20 years ago and today. How were we then? How are we now? Were we better then, or are we better now? If we are better now, then thanks to God. If not, or did we remember our 12th Imam more 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and are we remembering him less today? If that's the case, then that is shocking, and we have to fix ourselves before it's too late. So if we want to get important in the eyes of Allah, we have to give importance to him. If we want this life that has been given to us to be blessed, we have to open up a little bit of space for him. Without that, it is impossible. For example, when Shab-e Qadr comes, or the day of Ashura, the day of Arbaeen, were we better this year, or were we better in the past years? Or when it comes to Shab-e Qadr, it says, how long will it take? 20 minutes, 30 minutes for the Amal, so that we have to go back, rush back. Or how long would the Ashura program be? How long will it take for Arbaeen? If that is the case, that if it is specified space, then we have to wait for a restricted whatever reward is from there. I don't want to say that we don't have to do anything. We do everything in this dunya. But to certain things, a bit more of importance and emphasis has to be given. And those things is Aba Abdullah. That is Ashura, that is Laylatul Qadr. To these things we have to, we must. If we don't, we are at loss. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr says, illa alladhina amanu, but those who have faith, wa amilu salihat, and do good. Wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. And what is that good? This is good. Majlis is good. Ashura is good. Arbaeen is good. So this is the good which Suratul Asr is talking about. Ayatullah Kohistani, among the high class ulama of the Shia world, lives in Mashhad. He has no gravestone on his grave and is buried near the shrine of our 8th Imam. Ayatullah Marashi, he used to say that his presence on this earth plays the role of an anchor. That is, Allah, through him, a lot of the mercy of Allah descends onto this earth through him. Now, he dies about 35 years ago. Lives in Gurgaon, and among the Awliyaullah, they too loved him a lot. For example, Marhum Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, he being an arif of that high caliber, he comes and frequents with this Shaykh, with this alim. And it so happens that when he comes, it was the desire of everyone in those days to say a prayer behind this person. Says that when he came to visit Marhum Kohistani, one of the students of Marhum Kohistani was standing over there, and when he wanted to see him off, and he was going to sit in his car, the student in his heart says that all these days we were hearing a lot about Marhum Khayyat. Doesn't seem to be a great person, what we have heard. Now he said Khuda Hafiz, farewell to him, and he was going to sit in the car. Comes back and kisses Marhum Kohistani again and kisses his chest. Goes back again second time, third time, and addresses that student who had that question in his heart that he is not such a great person, and says that benefit from this gem as much as you can. Because from the heart of this person, Noor elevates and ascends to the heavens. And then, in his old age, that is Marhum Kohistani, he becomes a bit forgetful. And once in a while, he has doubts in his prayers, whether it was 3 rakat, whether it was 4 rakat. And upon the completion of his prayers, he says that a life wherein a person cannot remember or cannot benefit or cannot perform a good prayer, that life is of no use. So much importance they used to give to those prayers. Not like us, always in a rush, quickly say them, say Allahu Akbar and leave. It was mentioned yesterday, and again as a repetition, as a reminder, that among the things that hold this prayers and they keep it firm and strong is this recitation of Tasbih Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam. That make it a habit that you recite it after prayers. Masoom, he says that someone who recites that one Tasbih, which is 34 times Allahu Akbar, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Subhanallah, says that that prayer that he did, just one prayer, the thawab, the reward of that is multiplied by 200, just as for that one tasbih. And again says that someone who is having problems with his hearing, that tasbih helps. And before you go to bed, recite that tasbih. Quran says that وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, that remember God a lot. Masoom was asked that how do we remember God a lot? He says recite this tasbih, that is that dhikr kathir that has been mentioned in Quran. Whenever you have a problem, recite that tasbih. Before going to bed, recite that tasbih, and that way a person has performed his duty and at the same time has protected himself from shaitan. Salawat. So, Imam says that وَكْفِنِي مَا يَشْغَلُنِ الْإِهْتِمَامُ بِهِ وَاسْتَعْمِلْنِي بِمَا تَسْأَلْنِي غَدًا, that God, you spare me, you utilize me in what you want, in what your desires are, in what your wishes are, and open up time in my livelihood so that I could remember you. Marhum Hajaga Gulpaygani, Jamal Gulpaygani, he is among the study group or the batch of Marhum Ayatollah Burujardi. Ayatollah Burujardi came to Qom, he remained in Najaf. He loved Najaf and stayed there, and in Wadi Salam, the graveyard there, once in a while he comes with his students, and there he recites Fatiha on each grave. And then the students, they say that he used to go and sit at one point, one spot where there was no grave. And later on, they found out after his death, that was the place where he was to be buried. So, because not every land accepts every person. People who are great, they have to be buried in a place which has been designated for them by Allah. As it was mentioned the other day, the land of Karbala, it's a special land. It cannot be compared even to the land where in Kaaba has been situated. In Kamal Ziyarat, this has been mentioned. Once, Agha Jamal, he says that I was in that graveyard of Wadi Salam, and as his routine was, he recites the Fatiha on the graves, comes to that spot which ultimately becomes his own grave. It was a hot day. Says that I was sitting over there. I took my amama off as it was hot. I opened up the buttons of my qaba just to cool myself down. And all of a sudden a vision opens up before me, and I see these people to him who are buried in this graveyard. They are coming to me in a very shaken way. They are all desperate. saying that, Sayyid, you are from the progeny of Rasulullah, help us, do something for us. They were pleading, Sayyid, you are an alim, do something for us. He says, I knew some of them. They were those people who were proud, who possessed these qualities which shouldn't have been in them while they were alive. And when I used to talk to them, when I used to tell them, they used to mock me. Now that they are dead, from that alam-e-barzakh, they are coming to me, rushing towards me, seeking help. He says, I said to them, go get lost. Is this the time? The time has done, that time is up, and nothing can be done now. There was a time when a person could have corrected, could have fixed his akhirah, but now it's too late. So we have to do something to fix ourselves before we depart. Khurma natavan khord, azin khar ke kishtim. Diba natavan baft, azin pashm kirishtim. Barloh maasi khate ozri nakishidim. Pahluy kabair hasanati nanavishtim. That by sowing thorns, dates cannot be, you cannot reap them. Or from wool, you cannot weave rugs of silk. Barlohe maasi khate uzri nakishidim. All this wrong which we did throughout our life and we did not repent. The caravan of Karbala comes, is heading towards Medina. And when it comes to, that is after this Arba'in, nearer to the vicinity of Medina, upon the instructions of our fourth Imam, they sat down outside Medina. And he instructs them to relax, to get easy. And then the people of Medina at that time, they were not informed about what has happened in Karbala. They had heard rumors, but what exactly has unfolded in Karbala was unknown to them. Ibn Ziyad did want to inform, but Yazid, due to his tactics and conspiracies and the media in his control, then he did not allow that news of Karbala to get to Medina, because the people of Medina, they were well-wishers of Ahlul Bayt and they loved Ahlul Bayt a lot. So instructions of Imam, so if they had entered Medina just as a regular caravan, it wouldn't have had that impact in Medina. He instructs this caravan to stay out of the Medina, and there they settle down. And then Imam says to Bashir bin Jazlam, he is one of the renowned, son of the renowned poets at that time. And then Imam says to him, your father, he was a great poet. Are you as well, Bashir? Bashir says that I also have benefited from my father and I do say some poetry. Imam says, I want you to go and inform the people of Medina of what has unfolded and what has happened upon this household of the Holy Prophet. Bashir, he gets to Medina, gets onto his horse, and to Medina, informs the people about the Shahadat of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. There is a large congregation in Medina. What does he say? He says, Ya Ahla Yathrib, La Muqama Lakum Biha. Says, O people of Medina, this is no place to live anymore. قتل الحسين فدمعي مدرار الجسم منه بكربلا مضرج والرأس منه على القناة يدار. O people, Medina is no place to dwell with all this pain. Hussein has been killed, shed tears like rain. His body is wounded, soaked in his blood, his head on javelin in towns, in lanes. Upon listening to this message of Bashir, the entire mog, the entire congregation, they start weeping and crying. And not long did it take that every person in Medina was informed about the incident of what has unfolded in Karbala. They say, Bashir, where is the Imam? Where is dear Zainab, the Mazloom? Where is she? Where is the Imam? And upon there and they ask about Qasim, they ask about Aun, they ask about Muhammad, they ask about Abul Fazl. And it is amazing that the mother of Abul Fazl al-Abbas, Ummul Baneen, her performance is amazing on that day in Medina. When the message is given to her, and when they want to inform her of what has happened to her sons, says Abul Fazl and the three brothers, she says, tell me what happened to my Hussein. Those four sons of mine, they are all his ransom, they all be sacrificed upon him. Now, upon the pleading of the people, the address of our fourth Imam is given to them, and they call chanting, Ya Umm al-Masaib, Ya Zainab, Ya Hussein al-Mazloom, and come to the Imam, and they extend their condolences to the Imam. And there, when this large crowd from Medina has come outside Medina, and before the Imam, an Imam wants to deliver and speak to them. Everyone is crying. He points out and says, quiet, silence. أَيُّهَا الْقَوْمِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ ابْتَلَانَا بِمَصَائِبَ جَلِيلًا. How beautiful, Imam says, that, O people, indeed, Allah, to whom all praise belongs, has tested us with afflictions glorious, with pains that are glorious. And then says that, وَسُلْمَةً فِي الْإِسْلَامِ عَظِيمًا. He tried us, he tested us by creating a vacuum. And that is, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and his family were killed. They were taken from town to town. An atrocity the like of it never was seen before. And then says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ فَأَيُّ رِجَالَاتٍ مِّنْكُمْ يُسِرُّونَ بَعْدَ قَتْلِ. Says that, people, who among you is pleased after getting the message of the murder and the killing of Abu Abdullah? أَمْ أَيُّ فُعَادٍ لَا يُحْزَنْ مِّنْ أَجْلِ. Is there any heart that is not in, that is not grieved after getting this message? أَمْ أَيُّ عَيْنٍ مِنْكُمْ تَحْبِسُ دَمْعَهَا وَتَظُنُّ عَنْ إِنْهِمَالِهَا. And then says that, is there which I can refrain from crying after listening? Which eyelid can hold back the tear after getting this message? And then everyone cries. Imam says that, because of this bala, because of this affliction and the murder of Abu Abdullah, فَلَقَدْ بَكَتِ السَّبْعُ الشَّدَادُ لِقَتْلِهِ. That the seven pillars, all of them cried for this murder of Abu Abdullah. وَبَكَتِ الْبِحَارِ بِأَمْوَاجِهَا. The seas, all of the waves of it, cried. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ بِأَرْكَانِهَا. The skies and all of the pillars of the skies. And then says, which heart is not hurt by this qatl and this tragedy? Which heart does not draw close to Abu Abdullah? Which ear, after hearing such pain and vacuum in Islam, remains deaf? And then says, O people, we were deprived, we were abandoned, we were afflicted, we were dragged from cities to cities, as if we were Turks. And then says, what for? For no crime, for doing no wrong, and that we did in Islam. And then say that we never heard such atrocities from our ancestors. No one was treated like that. And by God, had the Prophet advised them, that is the nation of Yazid, the people of Yazid, says, had the Prophet advised them to fight us, they wouldn't have done anything more than what they did to us, despite the advice of the Prophet that we are his household. And his instructions were that to have love and devotion to them. Despite all what the Prophet had said, they did otherwise. An affliction, a bala, painful, an atrocity, grave, a musibah, heartbreaking. And from God we hope the reward, and we ask him. سے بین سکینہ کے اب آ جائیے امو تھے بین سکینہ کے اب آ جائیے امو پانی شکل یہ دکھلائیے امو بابا بھی نہیں سینے پہ اب کون سلائے سے مجھے کون بچائے اور آپ ادھر سوتے ہیں کیوں ہاتھ کٹائے دن باپ کی بچی پہ ترس کھائیے امو اکبر نے بھی منہ پھیر لیا جنگ میں جا کر پانی جو گئے پینے کو لوٹے نہیں اصغر بابا بھی ہمیں چھوڑ گئے خلد ملا کر ایسا ہوتا ہے بتلائیے امو کس درد سے گوہر میرے ظالم نے اتارے مجھے مارے دے رہے میں نے روئے پتماچے مجھے مارے میں روتا ہوں رات دن مجھے بہلا امو دریا میں لگے آگ میں پانی نہ پیوں گی آ جائیے میں کوئی شکایت نہ کروں گی جب آپ نہیں پاس تو میں بھی نہ پیوں گی یا مجھ کو بھی اس دشت میں لے جا امو pati abid bimar hai tanha is raat ke sanat mein phatta hai kalija کچھ سب کی تلقی نہیں دیتا کوئی امو تھے بے سکیاں کے آواز شکل یہ دکھلائیے امو ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم اللهم احينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وامتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد وارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد واجعلنا من أنصار محمد وآل محمد. It's the day of Arba'een. It's the day of another tragedy which has unfolded upon the Shias today. And for what reason? For being an associate of Aba Abdullah. بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Why were they killed? For the love and devotion they have for Aba Abdullah. On a day like today, on the day of Arba'een, by whom? By those who hate Aba Abdullah. By those who hate Rasulullah. So we have the least dua for them, and that is apart from the ziyarat Ashura. When Ma'asum, he says that Allahumma al'an awwal zalimin zalama haqqa Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa akhira tabi'in lahu ala dhalik. Allahumma al'an al'isabat allati jahadat al-Husayn wa shayat wa bayat wa tabat ala qatlih. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. All together once again. اللهم لعن أول ظالم محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وضايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وضايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. For all مؤمنين and مؤمنات and all those who have requested for dua. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أما يجيب ويكشف السوء. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. ما قلنا حسين.